people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Now, here with Everything Winona, here's Terry Tenseth.
Oh, don't you know?
On this episode of Don't You Know, we venture back to Prairie Island Campground and partake in a lesson on fur trading. The Big Muddy River Rendezvous took place at the campground this past October, showing school children and adults alike the way of life during the pre-1840s fur trading era. Today, a fur trader tells us about all the different hides that he would have bought, sold, and traded during the time and why the hides were so popular. You're listening to Don't You Know.
My name's Manny Beaver. I'm a tanner and a trader. I tan and trade animal hides. These are all beaver teeth. This is my breastplate. I made this out of all beaver teeth. I took just four teeth out of each beaver. This is my advertising. When I walk through a rendezvous now, anybody who has any beaver for sale or wants to buy any beaver can look at that breastplate and realize this is the guy to talk to about beaver. You look at the beaver tooth, the outside is a dark brown enamel and the inside is a white enamel. The brown enamel is harder and wears real slow. The inside wears faster. That way, as a beaver chews every day, he wears his tooth to a chisel point every day. And a beaver has to chew every day. If they don't wear those teeth down, the teeth continue to grow every day of their life. If they don't wear them down, they'll get so long that they won't be able to open their mouth. So they have to chew every day. What we're showing you here today is the fur trade of the 1800s. This is a beaver. This is the animal that made the fur trade in North America. Every man in Europe wanted a beaver felt top hat, and North America had the beaver. It would take three beaver this size to make one beaver felt top hat, and every man in Europe wanted a beaver felt top hat. The mountain men and the trappers, they'd go out into the wild lonesome, they'd trap the beaver, they'd skin them out, and then they'd either stake them out in the sun or put them on a hoop and dry out the skin so that it wouldn't rot anymore. They'd scrape off as much muscle and fat as they could. Then after they got a big enough stack of beaver hide, they'd come to a rendezvous like this and they'd sell them to a guy like me. When I got enough beaver hide, then I'd send them to the coast, get them on a boat, and ship them over to Europe. Europe had the best tanners in the world. They would tan the beaver hide, and when I say tan a hide, you treat the skin side of the hide so that the skin stays good, the skin won't rot, and the hair will stay on forever. So they would have the tanners tan the hide, then the hide would go to the hat makers, and the hat makers would first start scraping the skin side of the beaver hide, and the first things that fall out would be these long guard hairs, and what's left is the downy felt underneath, and that's what they made the beaver felt top hat out of. And every man in Europe wanted a beaver felt top hat until about 1820. About 1820, the Europeans started importing massive amounts of silk from China. The new fad was a silk top hat. Every man wanted a silk top hat. And the beaver trade dropped off almost overnight. Nobody wanted the beaver felt top hats anymore. I've seen both beaver felt top hats and silk top hats. The silk ones were nicer. Can't blame them a bit. So this one I tanned. You can feel that fur. Feel how soft that beaver fur is.
Oh my God. Yes.
During the fur trade, this beaver was worth about $5. Now, a beaver has solid hair, and underneath the solid guard hairs is a real soft down. That's what keeps the beaver warm, is that soft down. And they have to take real good care of it. Now, this one I tanned with the feet and tail on. When a beaver goes through the water, only its hind feet have webbing. The front feet don't have any webbing, just the hind feet. So they paddle through the water with the hind feet and they steer with the tail. When the beaver's alive, this tail is about a half inch thick, solid fat, weighs about 5 pounds. There's no muscle in the tail, there's no blood vessels in the tail, just solid fat and a group of tendons that run from the tip of the tail down to each hip joint, and that's how they power the tail. Without having their front feet webbed, they've got regular fingers, and that way they can handle sticks and twigs better that they make their lodges and dams out of. If their front feet were webbed, it'd be like working with mittens on. But this way they can handle everything real good and they're real dexterous. So, beaver gets done playing all day, working all day actually, because beaver don't play, they just work. They get back to their lodge, they have to dress their hair and keep it warm and to keep it dry. And on each hind foot, they have one double toenail. This double toenail works like a comb to fluff up the hair, twist it and tease it a little bit to open it up and break the layer of it so that it dries quicker. And you see all the other toenails are real blunt except for this one double toenail for teasing the hair. We've all handled sticks and wood, and you know how you get splinters. Well, you can imagine what it'd be like for a beaver to have that in your mouth all day. You've got the wood in your mouth all day. So they have a built-in toothpick. And if you look at that thumbnail, it's real sharp. It's got a real nice hook on it and real thin. All the other ones are blunt. That's so that they can go in every night and clean their teeth. They can floss in between their teeth. They can dress their gums, get out any slivers or anything else they've had in their mouth all day. So that's one very different looking nail, and that was their built-in toothpick. So when the beaver trade dropped off, that would have really hurt the fur trade, but North America had so much abundant wildlife that the Europeans still did want. We all recognize this. Raccoon. Now, you've seen them in the wild. They look real coarse. Feel how soft. Softer than a dog. They have a beautiful long guard hairs. They have a real nice thick down undercoat. Very soft. Not as soft as a cat, but every bit as soft as a dog. The problem with trying to make a good living on raccoon is that they were so plentiful. Everybody could get them. Anybody, anywhere could go out at night and get 10 or 12 raccoon, nothing to it. You didn't need any special knowledge. You didn't need any special tools. Raccoon go from one coast to the other, from Canada to Mexico, everybody could get them. So there was such a large supply of them, the price was down. At the same time, that beaver cost $5, a raccoon pelt would cost about 10 cents, because everybody could get them. And the skin is really thick and really durable, so you didn't need to replace. Anything you made out of a raccoon would last a long, long time. So then for something that was a little pricier, this red fox. Now this one I'd say is as soft as a cat. It's got long guard hairs, has down underneath. Very recognizable color for North America. Now they wouldn't make durable goods out of this. This would be to trim coats. They would put in trim along a hood, along the hem of a cuff, and hem on the bottom of the coat. The skin is very, very thin and rips very easily. If you tried to make a full coat out of fox, the weight of the coat would have ripped the fur. But anybody who was walking down the street in London and had red fox stole or red fox on their collar, anybody looking would say that came from North America. That person must have money if they can afford stuff from North America. At that point in time, North America was a very exotic place. Now this is just one of my favorite hides. This, do we recognize it? Yell it out. What is it?
Scott, is it a possum?
This is a possum. Now, if you've seen possums in the wild, they are just ugly.
Yeah.
They are very, very soft. You would think they'd be coarse and kind of gritty, but these are very soft. All my animals have been washed with my daughter's pet shampoo. They're very soft, and the fur is beautifully marbled from black to silver. Now, this we all recognize. Yes, the skunk. I have a secret recipe that when I tan my skunk, they don't have any odor at all, so my skunk don't smell. Feel how soft and silky, and you'll see why everybody wanted them. Now these are softer than cat. Now, don't go near skunk when you see them in the wild. Skunk carry rabies. Even if they don't have rabies, they can carry rabies. Stay away from skunk. Don't let skunk eat out of the same water dish or food dish as your regular animal, because they can transmit it, so stay away from skunk. Buy only tanned ones. These are the ones to pet, not ones that you see in your yard. But if you do see them in your yard and you wonder if you see the same skunk every night, the thing to look at is their tail. Every skunk has a very individual tail. If you look at these two, one, the stripes continue down. On the other one, they barber pole around. Every skunk has a very individual tail, and that's how you tell one from the other. I've seen some that have tails that are solid black. I've seen skunk that looks like they stole a tail off a raccoon because it's got rings around it. Seen them solid white. We had one go into our place we called Jingle Bells because it was a solid black tail and the tip was broke and the tip was white. As it run through the yard, it looked like a little jingle bell running after it. Now this is muskrat. Muskrat live in the water like a beaver does. They have a real thick down undercoat. These are very, very warm. They're just about waterproof. So we sold a lot of these. These made nice coats. They made nice liners and boots because of that warm down underneath. Problem with making something out of Well, we'll go to this first. I got something even softer.
Because the back of a muskrat is soft, but the bellies are just gorgeous. But the trouble if you're going to make something out of muskrat is they have a color variation, as you see them, from a cinnamon to almost a black, right? So if you need a 30 muskrat to make a coat, you might have to sort through 100 of them to get 30 that matched. So if we were selling fur to a coat maker, we'd sell this. This is a brown mink. All brown mink are the same color brown. All silver mink are the same color silver. All black mink are the same color black. There's no color variation. Okay, then we'll go across front. We didn't sell these to the Europeans, but do we recognize this animal?
A deer?
This is a white-tailed deer in full winter coat. The hair is hollow, and the hollow hair is how they get their warmth. Where the beaver has the downy undercoat, the deer get their warmth from the hollow hair. It's real coarse. Take a feel of it. Each hair is about 2 inches long. If you make anything out of white-tailed deer in full winter coat, you gotta be careful what you're gonna use it for, because the hair is hollow, it will break right off. So you can't use this for a rug, because from walking on it, the hair will break off and it'll just be a mess. Then do we recognize what this red one is? Yell it out if you know.
Fox.
No, this is white-tailed deer in summer. So if you see a white-tailed deer in June, July, or August, they're this color red. During the winter, they have hollow hair and it's real densely packed on the skin. Here, you can't really even see the skin. But in summer, they have this color red and the hair is solid, just like our hair. That way, because they don't have to stay warm during the summer. And it's real thinly sparse on the skin, actually. You can actually see skin through it. So during the summer, when the bugs are the worst, the deer can get down and actually chew off a wood tick or a burdock that's got caught in the hair. If they tried to chew off a bug in this hair, all they'd get is a mouthful of hair. So during the summer, they have less hair and it's solid. Now do we know why it's red? Why is it red?
The color fades.
Not the color fades, but I like the idea.
Because
the sun. The red hair reflects the heat of the sun. During the summer, our days are longer. And with this red hair reflecting the heat of the sun, the animal can come out earlier in the evening and be out an hour or two before sundown. Because you see them on the hillside during the summer and they just look almost electric with the sun shining on them. And they can stay out later in the morning in the sun and not overheat. And so during the summer they have that red hair, solid and real sparse on the skin. This one I got, just as it was losing the red, and you can see the winter coat coming in underneath it. This one is, I just wanted this one because it shows the transition so good from summer to winter. And this is the one we call the blue. This is a hard one to get. You only have 2 weeks. This is just the winter coat is starting in. It's real thickly packed on the skin, but it's just the solid hair tips. Just brush down that and feel how smooth that is. All the buckskinners want this one because this is what we make our shawls out of in our hoods. Because this sheds water just like a duck. Doesn't even get wet because that hair is so slick and smooth and it's a solid tip that the water just hits it and runs right down. Well, if you're wondering what this hole is, that was shot by an arrow. Where the arrow goes through, it makes this cross pattern. And I'm not going to try and tan those little triangles of skin, so I just cut it out in a circle. I know it looks like it was shot with Pirate Bob's cannon, but it's just from the bow and arrow. In my pouch I have the most expensive hide of the fur trade era. And it's this white one right here. Do we know what this is? What is it?
That's a deer tail?
No. This is actually a whole animal. That's his nose up there.
Oh, that's a ferret?
Not a ferret.
Mink?
Not a mink. I showed you what a mink was. Showed the brown mink.
A fisher?
Not a fisher. This is an ermine. The crown jewels of Europe are trimmed in ermine fur from North America. Almost every king and queen in the world today in their royal robes are trimmed with ermine fur from North America. If you see a picture of a king's robe or even a drawing of it, you'll see white fur with black spots. That's this ermine because the tip of their tails always stay black. So what they would do is sew those all together into a rope, into the collar of a robe, and the black spots you see in white fur, ermine tails. Do you have a question?
How much were those?
at the same time that this beaver was worth $5, this was worth $20. Because royalty used them in Europe. Royalty wanted them. Well, of course, if royalty wants them, everybody who wants to be, act, or look like royalty wants them too. So, and they are very hard to get. You can only get them in winter. Because in winter, they're white. In summer, they're brown, and they're a weasel. This is the same animal. The weasel and the ermine are the same animal. But in summer, they're brown, they're a weasel. In winter, they're white, and they're an ermine. And this one I got when he was going through the turn. So I've got a turner, a weasel, and an ermine. The weasel and the turner are worth nothing. Nobody wants them. They're too small to make anything out of. And there's nothing really special about them. I've shown you beautiful brown hides that were smooth and silky. But there is nothing this color white that feels like an ermine. Feel how that feels. It doesn't even feel like animal fur.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's really soft.
It's soft, get ready. It's smooth, it's silky. Oh. So when you hear stories about a weasel in the hen house killing all the chickens, that's what they're talking about, is this little guy right here. They are mean as the devil. So if you see an ermine in the wild, don't try and approach it. He will attack. They're not afraid of anything. They think they are just the baddest boys in the woods. You felt how smooth and slick they are. During the winter, they don't run on top of the snow. They run through it at ground level. They're so smooth and so slick, and they're so hard to get. That's why they were worth so much money. Now, this one was taken in the wild by a squirrel hunter friend of mine. He was out squirrel hunting. He shot a squirrel off to the left, and it dropped down. Well, the shot made another one off to the right start barking. So then he shot the one to the right. He looked over to see if the one to the left was still dead, and it was moving. So he shot it again. The second bullet went through the squirrel's head and through the head of the ermine. The ermine had come out underneath the log, grabbed the squirrel by the ear, and was trying to drag it away. So when he thought the squirrel was still alive, it was actually the ermine trying to drag a full-size squirrel under the log. So then my buddy brought me the squirrel with the ermine still attached to his ear and threw it on my kitchen table and said, "You want him?" I said, "Yeah, I want him." He didn't know that was a $20 hide. Well, it is for us. There's now no market for him at all. Nobody wants him anymore except us buckskinners. Fire in the hole! Pirate Bob's cannon was a 30-minute mark, so I'll let you guys move on.
A big thank you to all the participants of the Big Muddy River Rendezvous 2011 for allowing us to cover the day's events. You've been listening to Don't You Know?
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know? Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.